And now our children are dismissed for Children's Church. Thank you, Patty, for sharing with us this morning about your most recent trip and how God touched you and spoke to you during your time there. A couple of notes this morning before we begin. This coming Wednesday is community table at 5:30. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. It's on white paper. That's the one we need filled in first. So we have a couple of openings yet to be taken care of. We need somebody to slice dessert. Not eat dessert, but slice dessert. Okay, so if you're willing to both, if you slice, I'll tell you what, here's the deal. If you slice some dessert, we'll let you have a piece. If you don't slice, we can't eat any dessert. We have someone now. Okay, it wasn't signed in yet this morning. So thank you for that. If you have any questions about this coming Wednesday, Brenda and Marce are here. Check in with them. Also, if you do not know, if you weren't here last week, we announced that we're adding a second dinner church or community table, as we call it. It will be on the third Wednesday of the month. I'm told I said Sunday, maybe even the second, but anyway, it is the third Wednesday, so the first and third Wednesdays. There is also now a sign-up sheet for that third Wednesday of the month. It is on goldenrod or yellow paper. So please take a look at that and sign up to help us there. As the old adage goes, many hands make light work, and we need all hands on deck to help us with this. Deb Mullen is here this morning. She is coordinating along with Steve Ross that third Wednesday. So if you have any questions regarding that one, check in with Deb. Finally, the clothing closet giveaway for the fall is coming up. There are notes in the bulletin about it and the days and times that are there. If that's something you'd like to volunteer with in any time of that day, see Deb Mullen, who is the coordinator for that, and look forward to having everybody participate in that important ministry. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the Psalms. And I'll be reading just Psalm 67. Whenever I hear someone announce they're going to read an entire psalm, I get a little nervous. This is one of the shorter ones. There's only seven verses to it. And then later on in the message, we'll read the second scripture from the New Testament. Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. May God add blessing and understanding to both the reading and hearing of his word. How many of you here this morning remember the Iranian hostage crisis of the late 70s, the very late 70s. Many, and if not all, remember that. It started on November 4th of 1979, so the very end of the year, what would become a very tumultuous time for a president who would later be voted out of office by the name of Jimmy Carter. And it lasted until January 20 of 1981, and if that date rings a bell for any of you, it was the inauguration day of Ronald Reagan, who became president of the United States on that day. And it was on that very day that the 52 American hostages were released, kind of a in-your-face moment to Jimmy Carter on behalf of the Iranians. Well, during that time of the Iranian crisis, A man by the name of Reverend Dr. Greg Livingstone. He was one of the greatest mobilizers of global workers or servants or missionaries to the Muslim world. And he was in a church on the East Coast, an evangelical church at that, and he was asked while he was there if he would give a mission minute. And it wasn't a mission moment, it was definitely a mission minute. They gave him literally 1 minute to give a mission moment. And so on that day, he decided with that 1 minute, he would ask them two questions. The first one that he asked, how many of you here today are praying for the 52 American hostages that are being held in Iran? And literally 4,000 hands went straight up in the air very quickly. He said, great, great, wonderful, praise the Lord. Thank you for your prayers for our American hostages. And then he said he decided to ask a second question. How many of you here today are praying for the 42 million Iranians being held hostage to Islam? Four hands went up. Four hands went up. He said, what are you guys? I thought this was a Bible-believing church. Are we Americans first and Christians second? What's the deal here? Well, his rebuke became a challenge to this evangelical church to not only pray for Americans, but also to pray for those of different faiths around the world. And that was his work, his life's ministry, was reaching the Muslims for Jesus Christ. He was a mission-minded person. He was understanding that all people of the earth, to the ends of the earth, needed to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That was his heart and that his passion, not just for the United States of America, but for literally all the nations of the world. There are times when God rebukes his people through Scripture. There are times when God rebukes us. As a congregation, there are times when God speaks to us and challenges us to go beyond that which we know, to go beyond that which is comfortable to us, or that what we have put in our own little boxes. That is that we should be focused on God, that we should be focused on God's purpose and his desires and his understanding of what he wants us to do, his purposes. And so some years ago, I received, in the church that I was serving at the time, a similar challenge. This family came to me and they said, Pastor, we think it's really good that the church is giving to missions. That's a good thing. But how is it that we're getting our hands dirty? How is it that we're involved in hands-on mission and going into all the world and meeting people that aren't like us and different than us? That served as a challenge to me that day. I bring you this morning Psalm 67 from God's Word is what is also known as a mission psalm. A mission psalm that is included in this wonderful book of writings. And it revolves around the blessing of God. As you note at the very beginning, may God be gracious to us and bless us. You see that there, the focus at the beginning of this psalm. May God be gracious to us, and may God bless us. We receive a blessing from God. We ask for God to bless us. It is our desire that we be blessed in this earth and in this world. That is the desire of most people in this world. But the purpose of this psalm is beyond just God's blessings to us. It's about God's purpose for us. What does God desire us to do with the blessings he has placed upon us? How are we to respond as his people about the blessings that he has given us? What are we to do with them? You see, the gospel message isn't just about us. The gospel message isn't just for me. The gospel message is for all the world, Christians and non-Christians alike, those who are Americans and those who are not, literally here and around the world. That is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the message of this missional Psalm 67. Most of us are very quick to pray for blessings for ourselves. God, we pray, help me with my needs. Help me, heal me, sustain me. And we cry out, oh God, just bless me. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that, but then it needs to go beyond that. And so when God answers your cry to bless you, when he helps you with your needs, when he helps to bring healing to you, and when he gives you sustenance and sustains you through life, what is your response to that? How is it that you are going to react to it? Are you just going to say, oh God, good, I'm good, thank you so much, and not respond, not do anything with it? Psalm 67 has a deeper meaning, has a much deeper meaning for God's blessings. And it begins to show up in the very next verse. Make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth, that your salvation be among all nations. And there it is. Bless us in order that your salvation, your message may get beyond us and reach the nations, that your message may get beyond us and reach all people groups, that your message is for the entire world, not just one part of it. This psalm reveals God's missionary purpose, that all nations may be known and maybe know God's salvation. God's favor upon us in this psalm and the people of that time is very clear, that when he blesses us, he wants others to see so clearly those blessings in us that they turn their attention to the one true God, that they understand about God and his blessings, and that they're not just to be kept to ourselves, but they're to be willingly shared and given away to others as we have freely received them. Now, we usually think of nations in order of politics. We have an understanding that there are good nations and bad nations, that there are nations in NATO and there are nations not in NATO. There are terrorist organizations and there are non-terrorist organizations. And for political purposes and reasons, we label them and we separate them apart from one another. And because we often interpret them that way and we place these political boundaries so clearly on all of them, how is it then that we can literally follow that great commission of Jesus who said in Matthew 28, go there into all the world, if we're just keeping it to ourselves, if that message is only for us, if we shut out those other worlds, those other political systems? And so what I want us to consider today is that is not the message that this scripture is talking about. And when we as a country or we as Americans label these other nations, and we do that for a specific reason and purpose, we must also understand that from a scriptural perspective, we're looking more at people groups rather than we are political groups. And I want you to understand that difference this morning. I've just described for you the political groups and some of the reasoning why we have them. But I want you to understand this morning from the scriptural perspective of Psalm 67 what these other groups are all about. These people groups and the unreached people groups that are in our world today. A people group can be defined as a large group of people who share and perceive in themselves some similarities. They may be the same color. They may be the same religion. They may be share the same language. They may live in the same place. They may have the same occupations. They may be in the same class or situation or any combination of all of these. But that's what brings them together as a group of people, and that is what defines a people group. Our churches in this land and all lands should be a place where Christians can come together and pray for people groups. Now, we do this from time to time when there are tragedies around the world, when there's a tsunami, when there's an earthquake, when there's bad fires, when there's a terrorist attack, these kinds of things. But what we're praying for there is their recovery from those events and God's protection upon them, which is good. But we also must understand in that same prayer, we should be praying that they will see and hear God's salvation in our love and our prayers for them. Because of the blessings that we have received, we in turn then share with them the love of God through our prayers and through our action. We can understand that Jesus has called his church, and that's us, to pray for these various people groups around the world. And you know what? It's a privilege. It's a great privilege to be able to do that. It's a great responsibility of the church to do it. It is a wonderful missional opportunity. And so our mission task is to take this gospel message and to share it because God has given it to us. And we've received it freely. We didn't deserve it, but he gave it to us. And we've asked him to forgive us, and we've asked him to bless us, and then in turn, it is our responsibility and great privilege to share it with other people. Your blessings are something to be joyful about. Your blessings are something to be joyful about. Right? Thank you, Greg. Yes, be joyful about your salvation. Restore unto me the joy of our salvation. Many Christians need that today, to have that salvation renewed. God has blessed us, and so it is our goal, it is our responsibility, it is our duty then to reach other people, unreached people groups for Jesus. And you might be sitting there and saying, well, Pastor, you know, pretty much everybody around the world has been reached. Well, not so. Not so. There are many people here today in our country that have no idea what church is all about. But more importantly than church, they have no idea who Jesus is and how important Christianity can be to their lives. They have no idea whatsoever. That's just here in the United States. Not to mention all throughout Europe, where they have seen a decline in religion over the last several years. That decline has come to America. And where, as we look in other places in the world, we see religion booming. And so we understand that we have work to do. We have work to do. I want us to remember this morning as well that this Psalm 67, as I said, does remind us of joy. Verse 4, it says, may the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May all peoples praise you, O God. That's the goal. And it is our privilege to be able to take that message out into the world. God has always had a plan. God has always had a plan, and God still has a plan. So I want to talk about that a bit this morning. We have to remember that this psalm is not just any psalm. It is, as I have already said, a missional psalm. It's one that's often referred to when speaking about mission. But it's also a harvest psalm, a harvest festival song. And it contains within it a message from God to all people groups, to all nations, regardless of race, color, or creed. It is a message to all that God has given us an abundant harvest. God has provided for us an abundant harvest. And verse 7 is a reminder that we are to take this message, as it records in the book of Acts, that we are to take it to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost ends of the earth. That's no small task. And for centuries, churches and church groups from this country as well as others have been sending global servants all around the world to reach people in various parts of God's creation, remote places. And we are reminded of God's missionary plan through this message today. But this is not a song about a physical harvest. By the way, I'm sure you've noticed as well, things are beginning to change in our agriculture. If you drive down the country road, you begin to see that what once was green and bright is becoming brown. And it's turning. It's fall coming up. Harvest season. But this is not only a physical harvest that this scripture is speaking about today. It's a spiritual harvest. It's one where we must understand that it's part of God's plan that we harvest people. It says that the laborers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest sends out workers. That's what we are. We are those workers as we pray for God's blessing, then in turn that we go out into the field and we work the field. And you'll see farmers working in the fields day and, yes, night now. Many technologies have increased their time to be able to be in the fields, both in daylight and darkness. But God blesses us in order that we can bless others. God's plan is then fulfilled. Like I said, God has always had a plan, but guess what? People don't always like to follow it. We don't always follow the plans that God has set up for us. We see those plans as holding us back sometimes and keeping us from having real fun. You know, we can do all the partying while we're young, and when we're old, then we can turn back. Well, that's not what the Bible says. We were created in the image of God. And God created Adam and Eve, and he placed them in the Garden of Eden, a wonderful place that was free from sin, that was perfect. And he looked upon all of his creation, and he said, "It is good." And he allowed humanity to take control and be stewards of this wonderful creation. But we know what happened. We call it the fall, and it's not the season of autumn. It's the fall of humanity. It's the beginning of sin in our world. It's when the sin entered in. And therefore, then, every generation afterwards has suffered because of that. That original sin, things went from bad to worse. And we see it continue in our world even today. And so there was this great fall. And then so what God decided to do is he said, you know what, I'm going to flood the earth. And in a way, you know, when we used to play sandlot baseball, we'd say, do over, do over. So he didn't like the call that we got. So he wanted to change it. Well, God said, do over. And he wiped out the whole earth except for a couple people and two animals of each. And he started over again. He had another plan. And that plan worked for a while. But then again, the wickedness of humanity came to be, and the people decided, you know what, we'll build a great tower. There's no way that he can get us in this flood if we can build this tower as high as we can. So they built what is known as the Tower of Babel. In Genesis chapter 11, we read, there at that time that God scattered the people, therefore forming these people groups, and he scattered them all out based on their language that they probably all understood at one time, and now all of a sudden there's different languages and different places of the earth where they are going to live. All of these people groups are scattered. Their languages are scrambled. People were previously one people. People were speaking one language. And after the Tower of Babel, humanity became divided. That was a result of humanity's sin. God did not intend it to be that way. God wanted all of us people to be unified and together. I don't have to tell you that the country in which we reside is bitterly divided. God does not and did not intend for that. The God of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, God promised Abraham that he would pour out his blessings upon all of the generation, all of the children of Abraham and the tribes of Abraham, and that he would pour out his blessings on all of these people and these families of the earth. And friends, this purpose was finally complete when Jesus breathed his last on the cross, and when he then rose up from the grave, we received the ultimate blessing of forgiveness of sin and victory over death and the grave. It was part of God's plan, God's purpose for us, for his people. And then that we would take that message and that we would go and tell, that we would share it with all the world and all the various people groups. God's purposes were for all the families of earth that were continually announced in the scriptures. You know, I remember growing up and my great-grandmother always speaking to me about Israel. Israel, God's chosen people. That's what I would always hear. You know, the Jews, they're God's chosen people. And I always remember that. It was ingrained in me. And we know that our country has always had a good relationship with Israel. And so we could ask the same question that Reverend Dr. Livingstone asked. Are you praying for the Israeli and American hostages that are being held in Gaza? And all the hands would shoot up. But are we praying for the Gazans? Are we praying for the Palestinians? How many less hands might shoot up? Not a political statement, a spiritual understanding of that we are all part of God's family. And while I believe, this is just a personal note, that they were attacked and they had a right to respond, I still believe that and I stand by that. But we must understand that God sees it in a different way. God's purposes are for all of us to be together. And so God did not choose Israel and set them apart as his chosen people just so they could say, hey, everybody else, God likes us better than you. No, it was through them then that the Messiah came and that his plan was worked out. And it comes back to us. Okay, we were set apart. We were chosen by God as his people. And the message came to then to us, the Gentiles. Then it's not just for us. It's for everybody. It's for the entire world. And this psalm reminds us of that. It reminds us of God's purposes that Jesus so clearly articulated in the Great Commission. And if you have that up there, Brad, we can read that. Matthew 28, is that up there? 16 through 20, do we have the words? There we go. Here we go, let's read it together. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything commanded to you." That is the scripture known. Oh, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That is the scripture that we know as the Great Commission. Thank you, Brad. In the book of Revelation, John looks at the conclusion of all of what I've been talking about today. And in it, he sees God's salvation fulfilled, and that is that it has reached every tribe, every nation, every language, every people group. On this communion Sunday, we've heard about the love of God expressed to us through the symbolism of the bread and the cup, the juice. After Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem and resurrected on the third day, he told his disciples to hang out in Jerusalem. Stay there. Why? Because he was going to send someone to them. He was going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Guide. He was going to send that Spirit of God to them. And so 50 days later, on what is known as the day of Pentecost, Jesus told his disciples, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power to be my witnesses, where? To the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Right before Jesus ascended, he told his disciples that, and then he ascended to heaven. And then 10 days later, that Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, and it enables them to do miraculous things. Guess what else it gave them the ability to do? When they were gathered there, they were all able to understand languages again. They were all able to understand each other for that moment. Interesting, huh? That when they couldn't understand and when the languages were scrambled and the people were scattered, God brought them all back together again. And at that moment in time, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit being upon them, they understood each other and able to communicate. And they wondered how this could be. On this harvest festival, and that's what Pentecost is, it's one of the harvest festivals, it reminds us the day that the Holy Spirit came to empower the church to fulfill its purposes for all God's people. This spiritual harvest of which I speak, of which is recorded here in the Holy Scriptures, God enacted his announced plan to bless every tribe, every people, and every nation. Well, this is Labor Day weekend, isn't it? The first day of September. Those burr months, September, October, November, December. They get colder as they go. Did you hear that in my voice? We're in those months, but in this first day and in this first weekend of this new month, we're reminded it's Labor Day. Labor Day was created to recognize the working class, the salt of the earth people, people like my dad, who worked hard in a factory for 25 years, and their contributions to making this country great. They are the people that made America great. Those working people. They were the ones who gave and sacrificed. But I say to you on this Labor Day weekend, which is a holiday for us now, and we honor holidays, and we usually take them as a day off, it's not a day to take off. When we've heard a message like this today, and we understand we have work to do, we have labor to perform, to carry out. We have things that need to be done. We have people that are still need to be reached. Right here in Greenville, yes. I'm so proud of our congregation. For in the last 8 months, 9 months, we have reached an equal an even greater amount of people than we reach here on Sunday morning on our Wednesday night community table. We've doubled our efforts by reaching that particular people group of our community. We're beginning to get to know them, and we're expanding that, and we're able to get to know and build those relationships even more. And our clothing closet has now surpassed 600 people that they've assisted throughout this year thus far, and they will reach even more as they have a special event coming up later this month. We know that on the day of Pentecost that the Spirit of God was upon the people, and it was that day that God added people to the church, that God grew his church by 3,000 people that day. Not by any program or anything that they did, but because the Holy Spirit was upon them, and because they responded and they shared that message with the people groups. Not political groups, but people groups. And 3,000 people were saved, and people heard the gospel message in 12 different languages, and they all understood it. God enacted his plan to bless every tribe. Yes, my friends, God has blessed us in so many ways. And it's interesting this morning, a couple people that I spoke with, as I do each Sunday morning as they come in, not knowing what I was going to speak about, we talked about, isn't it good to be up? Isn't it good to be out? Isn't it good that we have a roof over our head, that we have meals on the table? For sure, my friends, it is. God has blessed us. We are blessed people. Yeah, we all have our struggles, but God has blessed us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit upon us as his chosen people. He has equipped us then to share those blessings. We, this church, are part of God's grand plan, not only to bless ourselves, but to bless other people, to bless the world. And if we are available before God, he will use us. And we've seen this already, and he will continue to use us to spread the gospel to unreached people groups and to all people. I want to close with Psalm 67 in the last couple of verses. Verses 6 and 7 says, after all of this praise, after all of the people have come to God, it says this, then the land will yield its harvest, verse 6, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. When we do these things, God will bless us, and as a result, others will come. Others will know Jesus, and together we will have a reverence from God, and at one day, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's part of his plan. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise your name. Amen.